Hey guys, quick warning. This week's episode is all about Supergiant's game Hades. So there's going to be some spoilers for some story points in the game, but don't worry. This game is so detailed, it's so in-depth that there's tons of things that we didn't even touch upon in this podcast. If you have played Hades, I think that this episode is a great discussion on it. If you haven't, don't worry because there's so much more to experience. And the stuff that we do talk about, seeing it for yourself in the game and getting to those points is an experience in itself. So I'm really hoping that for the people who haven't played this game, what we talk about here gets you interested in trying it because it's a fantastic game. Also, Allie's mic is a little messed up this week. We had to order her a new cable. When she talks, she kind of fades in and out. Luckily, I do about 95% of the talking this episode because I'm the one who played Hades. But just want to let you guys know. So that's it. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to Till Death Do We Play, a podcast where marriage and video games are the perfect union. My name is Andy, and as always, I'm joined by my wife, Allie.
Hello.
Hello. So, how you doing?
Tired.
Yeah, it's late, but we got a show to do. Allie kind of took the reins last episode when we were talking about a bunch of cyberpunk stuff with CD Projekt Red, so I wanted to kind of even it out and talk about something I've been really, really into lately, and that is Hades. This is going to be a Hades episode. We're just going to be talking all about the new game. Not really new from Supergiant Games. The game has actually been out for a while. It was in early access, I think 2018. It was originally announced at the Game Awards in 2018, and it was like immediately in early access on the Epic Games Store. But they actually had a full release a couple months ago, and it was on Steam and Switch, and I slept on it for so long. And I'm a big fan of Supergiant Games. I played Bastion probably like six times. It was such a cool game, but I was never into roguelike games. And for anyone who's unfamiliar, and Al, you could chime in here because you probably played some as well, because I really haven't played any. Roguelike is like your constantly doing runs of the same thing over and over again, just trying to get better at it, right?
I'd say kinda. I mean, it's also randomized a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can still get the general theme of what's going on, but like in some cases a dungeon layout might be different.
Yeah. So it's kind of like
sequences might be different.
That kind of reminds me of like Left 4 Dead, because Left 4 Dead was like one of the first games where it was like zombies spawn in randomly. So each run is a little different, but you're basically doing the same thing over and over again, but you might have different encounters.
I guess same concept. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't just memorize where everything is.
Exactly. Yeah. So that always threw me off a little bit when thinking about them, even though a lot of them have cool progression systems and there's stories to them and stuff. But, I just heard so many great things about Hades and I wanted to check it out. So I did. And I've been addicted to it. So far, I think I'm at 55 hours on the Switch and I've been playing for maybe a month. And oh boy, it's a ride. I haven't had a game like this where I've put so much time into in such a little amount of time. And all I could think about is just playing it again. Like I'm thinking about my next run. But before we get into the technicalities of it, I guess I'll just lay down the plot of Hades because there's a really cool story. One thing Supergiant is really known for is their like focus on voice acting and storytelling and music in their games, and that is like on full display here. It's a fully voiced cast. I'm not sure if when it went to early access if there was voice actors. I feel like I heard that they got added later on, but like everything in this game is voiced out. It's so cool. But so Hades is it's all top down. It's kind of like two-thirds top down. You're kind of looking at it from an angle, but that's
Diablo setup.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like Diablo. And that really gives a greater view of like the area that you're working in, because a huge point of the game is to try to get through these rooms and take out enemies, and it just gives you a great view of the landscape. But yeah, getting back to the story. So you play as Zagreus, who is the son of Hades. So it's a little weird because the game is called Hades, but you're playing as Zagreus. It starts out and he gets sick of like living in his father's domain, and he wants to go out and see the world and join his cousins and his uncles on Olympus. He is aided in his quest by a couple members of the house who are like prominent figures in Greek mythology. One of them being Nyx, who is like, there's a little descriptions underneath all of them, so you kind of know what they're known for. So Nyx, it's night incarnate, so she's the very essence of night.
She's a primordial.
Yeah, I think, oh no, actually, well, yeah, that's true, but there's another, primordial is another, like, word that's thrown around in the game. It just made me think of another character who is chaos, who is literally primordial chaos, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
That was the first. I'm not good with Hades because I didn't play too much of it, but I knew a lot of Greek mythology.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. Like, you were watching me play and a character would pop up and you would tell me something about them, and I was like, oh yeah, like that happened in the story. They actually talked about that. So there's tons of research.
Greek mythology is like my Kardashians.
It's so funny because like I started playing this after I finished up Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and I was like, man, I like Norse mythology way more than Greek mythology, but now I'm playing Hades and I'm like, it's pretty cool. It's cool, you know. But yeah, Nyx she's kind of like shown as like a mother figure to Zagreus.
She's got like 48 kids.
Yeah, and two of them are actually a few are on display. Hypnos and Thanatos. Thanatos is basically death. He's the Grim Reaper. They're sons of Nyx, and you're kind of like a son, and then you have like the Fury sisters, like Megara. But getting ahead of myself there. Basically, Nyx puts you in contact with the Olympian gods, and they know that you want to escape, so they're willing to help you. They can't like speak to you directly, but they could kind of send down messages, and they actually aid you on your runs. So the game starts out, you have nothing, and when you try to escape, it's like a couple minutes and you're dead. Again, we'll get to that. Like, you start your run and you see an orb, and you go to the orb and it's from a god. I don't know if it's always from like Zeus or someone for the first time, but that's what puts you in contact with the gods, and they'll give you a random power. It could be like one of three things, and it might make your attack better, it might make you faster, something like that, and you could choose it, and you're a little stronger for that run. Each room might have something like this, or a different type of reward, like currency or health or something like that. But yeah, on your first run, you're going to go through rooms and you're going to die. You're going to go through a couple rooms and you're going to die. I think my first run was about 2 minutes long, and you get sent right back. So the thing about being the son of Hades, in you're in hell, you're in the underworld. When you die, you just show back up in the river Styx. So you literally come out of a pool of blood and you're like, well, that happened. So that's like the basis of the game, is you're running until you die and then you start over. But the thing is, on your runs, you, along with like boons, they're called, they're the rewards that gods give you. Along with those, you also get gemstones and pure darkness, which kind of acts like the currency of the game. You quickly start unlocking things that make your runs a little easier. So you could unlock extra lives. You could unlock casting, which is you have you have an attack, you have a dash, you have a special, and you have your cast. You could unlock more cast abilities. You know, there's like two dozen type of things that you could unlock that'll actually aid you in your runs right from the start, and you could progressively get better with them. So right off the bat, you do your second, your third run, you're already making progress in the game. That's something that I really liked, was like, this game, a lot of games that you play, they get harder as the game goes on. You know, something like, you'll start a game with a tutorial and easy enemies, and then they start throwing harder and harder things at you. Hades gets simpler, especially after you learn technicalities of the games, and you start strategically, you know, stacking your boons so you could have a specific build. The game gets easier. I think I'm 75 runs in, and like, I could pretty much clear it almost every time if I have a pretty good build, just because I know what to specifically look for. So what I just said there was I could clear it every single time, and you have to think like, well, what's the point of the game if you just run through it and you're done, you know? And I really wasn't sure what to expect. And there's going to be like minor spoilers coming up, but the game has such a deep story, and I'm still unlocking things after I technically got the end of the story. There's still like new things that pop up. Okay, and this is where the spoilers come in. So you work through several areas of the underworld. There's three main areas, and then there's kind of like a smaller section at the end. The first one being Tartarus, which is like the lowest level of hell. The second one is Asphodel, which is kind of like where people are sent to be punished. There's like burning and there's fire and everything. After you work your way past that, you go into Elysium, which is closer to the surface, and it's kind of reserved for like heroes. So it's actually kind of looks like a paradise, what people would actually think like heaven looks like. But still, people are trying to kill you because, you know, your dad doesn't want you to leave, so he sends everybody after you. And after you're done with Elysium, you make your way up to the River Styx. Once you're done with the River Styx, you actually could go outside, but Hades is waiting for you there. And the final fight of every run is against your dad. He dominated me a bunch of times. I think I got my first clear on my 35th run.
Daddy Hades, ooh. No!
Yeah, and he doesn't care. He is the definition of a strict father. And he reminded me a lot of Kratos, because he doesn't call Zagreus Zagreus, he calls him boy. And you know, when he kills you, he's just like, told you, like, get back to your room and all that crap. I don't know. But
now you think about what you did.
Yeah, stuff like that. But as you get stronger in the game, you unlock better weapons, you know, you're all powered up. You get a really like good run with your boons, and you're able to take Hades down. You go outside, and he's like, fine, go. Like, so you leave Styx, and you're in Greece, and you continue forward for a little bit, and you come upon a cottage, and at the cottage is Persephone. Now, I should backtrack a little bit, that during these runs, when you're finished with your run, you discover more and more by talking to the gods and talking to Nyx and everybody, and you find out that your mother is alive, and she is Persephone. So there was some confusion when Zagreus was born. He was actually stillborn, and Persephone, who was taken to the underworld from Olympia, and she was like kind of given to Hades as a gift, but they fell in love with each other. She still felt out of place in the underworld. And when she had a baby and her baby was stillborn, she was like, I should not be here. So she left. But Nyx took little dead baby Zagreus and brought him back to life.
Persephone, nothing better than a dead baby.
Yeah, there's a lot of things better than that, Allie.
Yeah.
But Persephone never found out about Zagreus. This is to, you find out a little later on that this was to protect Persephone. There's a lot of conflict going on between Olympia and Hades and Persephone. The Olympians don't know that she's out of the underworld. She's kind of been hiding from them. So a big part of the story is Zagreus trying to find out, like, why did my mom leave me? Why hasn't she come back and everything? So the first time you take Hades down, you make your way into Greece and you find Persephone. And he's like, it's very awkward. And he's like, I'm your son. And she's like, my son's dead. And she's like freaking out and stuff. But then she realizes that it's actually him. And she's like, what's going on? What's going on? And you're like, oh, crap. What's going to happen with this story? Zagreus dies. He just dies of natural causes. And that's the first big twist in the game is you find out that this whole journey Zagreus has been on, the hours that you put into this game, and he can't survive in the mortal realm because he was born, you know, in the underworld. So that was a little disappointing, but then the story kind of shifts over to Hades being like, I told you, you can't make it out. What, like, will you stop this now? And he's like, nah. No, yeah, no, no. He's like, no, I just found my mom. I'm going to go and talk to my mom one conversation at a time until I have my answers. And he's like, I need my mom in my life, which is really cool. I need my mom in my life. So I relate to Zagreus. But so
parents are for squares.
Oh my God. yeah, so you know, you'd think like, okay, I did it. I'm good. No. The story like just starts on your first successful escape. And I just had a blast going through it. So each time you escape, you find a little bit more from Persephone. You know, you find out, you know, why she left and everything about you being stillborn. And then you find out about the Olympians, how they don't know she's there and all this stuff. And for anyone who's, you know, I mean, it's weird. Yeah, but we did agree that the game has been out long enough to that we could talk about spoilers here. But it takes 10 clears to fully finish Persephone's story. And on your 10th clear, I remember this because this happened to me like last week. I think I got my 10th clear and I was just like all amped up. And I was like, this is the 10th time. Like I came into Hades and I was like the fight with Hades. And I was like, just got to get through this. And I'm going to see what happens. And you walk out and Hades is like, I can't do this anymore. Like, just go talk to her. And I was like, holy crap, this is, because that just doesn't happen any other time. You know, as the time, like as the runs go on and you find out more about the story, you find out that Hades really, really cared for Persephone. And the reason he kind of shunned you and was not talkative about it was because he was trying to protect her from the gods. He didn't want anything to get in the way of that. And he just kind of gave up because he realized that you weren't going to stop. So you go and talk to her and she's packing her things. And she says, well, since you're here, help me pack. And he's like, what's going on? And she's like, well, I'm coming to the underworld. I'm just going to do it. So that's kind of like a big turning point in the story, is that your mom comes back and you get reunited with Hades. Not like they get reunited, but your relationship kind of gets patched up, because you essentially fought your way to find your mother and try to patch things up, and you know, brought his love back to him. There's some stuff in the game that I still don't want to say for anyone who hasn't played it, because the story is so in depth. There's so much stuff that happens. Like, I'm still playing it and things just keep popping up. But it's just really interesting seeing the dynamic of the game go from, I want to get out of here. My uncles and my cousins and my aunts in Olympus are going to help me. And then finding out more about the story, and then eventually sticking with your family in the underworld for reasons. It's just really, really interesting to see.
You want a random fun fact?
I do. I want to break from talking.
So, random fun fact about Greek mythology. Hades did cheat on Persephone twice. One time was with a woman of extreme beauty named Minthe, who was then turned into a mint plant. And the second time was with Lefki, who was a beautiful nymph who was then transformed into a tree. Minthe got stomped on by Persephone, mm-hmm. which is the first known historical occurrence of the curb stomp. But despite these two infidelity attempts, or actually they weren't attempts, they were full on infidelity. He never committed the hard R like Zeus and Poseidon did. And he definitely did not cheat nearly as much as the other two.
Wow. That's still so messed up.
I mean, it is messed up, but he was a pretty good dude, all things considered, even though he did also abduct Persephone. But she got happier.
He technically, this is from just playing through the game. It comes out that he technically did not abduct her. She wanted to leave Olympus. She did not like it there. And if you hear a snoring in the background, my dog is asleep. But
he's very fat, but we love him.
I got to get a CPAC machine for him. it gets revealed that Zeus gave Persephone to Hades as a gift, and she was kind of like, whatever, because I just want to get out of Olympus. And Hades was like, whatever. But then they fell in love. What else?
The actual story, Persephone is the daughter of Demeter.
Yes.
She's her fave. Hades abducts her, which caused winter and severe droughts, because Demeter is the goddess of, I believe it's agriculture and fertility, and basically like harvest stuff. Obviously this was a big problem.
I think in the game, Demeter, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but
Demeter.
I think she's just the goddess of seasons.
Yeah, no, she's agriculture.
Yeah.
But because of her, that's what causes the seasons. So yeah. Persephone is forced to return to Hades 1/3 of the year, which causes either winter or super drought, because Hades gave her a pomegranate and she ate 1/3 of the seeds. So she's able to go and return to Demeter during those. Pretty much the seeds represented months. So she's able to go and be with Demeter doing her whole flower stuff, because she's like, Persephone is literally the goddess of like nature and growth and beauty and all that stuff.
Yeah. Every time you make your way to her cottage, she has like a basket full of fruits and vegetables, and she's like tending to her garden, and it's like a really nice looking place and stuff. And even when she comes back to the underworld, she has this kind of like ghoulish garden outside that's growing pomegranates in the trees. And pomegranates are a huge part of your runs, because they actually they're a reward that you could get in rooms where they'll level up an ability from a god. So when you get boons from your gods, they're always at level one, but if you get a pomegranate, you could choose to level one up and they get stronger and stronger. So
I could also tell you another thing that is super unrealistic from the myth versus the game.
Sure.
So, like I said before, I haven't played a whole lot of Hades, but I do recall there's a few times where it seems like Hades, like, threatens Nyx. So, that's incredibly unrealistic because Hades became god of the underworld because he was the weakest of the three brothers, Zeus, Poseidon, and himself. Nyx is literally so freaking powerful that Zeus is terrified of her. In fact, she is the only known goddess that he genuinely fears. Her one son, Hypnos, was hired by Hera, who is Zeus's wife, to put him to sleep because she wanted to go pull some shenanigans. But Hypnos was not strong enough to do so. And when Zeus discovered who was trying to put him to sleep, he made it a mission to go and beat the crap out of him. Hypnos did the one thing that anybody who has a bully would do. He went to mommy. and Zeus was not about to mess with that because Nyx is one of the primordial creations. She is the daughter of Chaos, which was like the first of basically everything. She had a lot of babies.
Yeah. Yeah, we could talk about that. We could talk about her babies. So first of all, you mentioned Chaos. During your runs in the game, there's these little gates that open up. And you can go into them, but you have to sacrifice some of your health. And it's just temporary. It's like take a 25-point hit. And you meet Chaos. And I've only talked to him a few times. But he basically gives you a boon where the next couple of encounters, which is basically just a room full of enemies, each room is an encounter, you're taking some kind of punishment or some kind of challenge, like, you know, damage. The enemies will do 200% damage or something like that. But after that, after the three or five encounters, you're stronger in a specific way. That's a part of the game that I'm probably like not even fully up on the story with, because there is connections obviously between Chaos and Nyx and everyone else, and I just haven't talked to Chaos too much. So after everything that I've been through in the game, there's still that section there that I could explore and learn more about. But yeah, speaking of her sons, Thanatos and Hypnos is always there to greet you when you come back from the River Styx. And they do something that I noticed. It's a lot cooler what they do. Like, I guess the only other roguelike that I've played the most of is The Binding of Isaac. And when you die in The Binding of Isaac, it just shows you a little drawing of what killed you. And it's like, you got killed in this level by this thing. And when you come back to the house, Hypnos is like, oh, God, one of those bomb skeletons got you, right? You got to watch out for those. Or it's like a saw came out of the wall and smashed you up. And he just kind of like makes fun of you. And whenever you make it to Persephone and you die in the mortal realm, he's like, what the heck is this? Natural causes. I've never heard of this before. It's pretty funny. Yeah. And even there's so many like just lines like that. It's so in depth. Like if you die on a specific boss, like each section of the world I talked about, there's Tartarus, Asphodel, and Elysium. In Elysium, the boss fight is you're fighting Theseus, and I believe his name is Asterius. He's the Minotaur. Like Theseus in mythology, Theseus killed the Minotaur, and in Elysium, the Minotaur is like his underling and he sees Theseus as a god. If you die to Asterius, the Minotaur, you come back and Hypnos, you find out Hypnos is like a huge fan of his. And he's like, wow, you got killed by Asterius. If you meet him again, can you try to get his autograph for me? And like, the more you die from him, the more he keeps bringing up getting an autograph. And Zagreus is like, dude, I'm trying to kill him. I'm not going to get your autograph. It's just really, really funny. Yeah, let's talk about, since I talked about the bosses, let's talk about other bosses you encounter.
Fun fact.
Okay.
The Minotaur is not a species. The Minotaur was one single creature.
Oh, really? So there was only one Minotaur?
Yep. He was created when King Minos did not fulfill his end of a bargain with Poseidon. So Poseidon made it to where his wifey got super turned on by a magic bull. And thus the Minotaur was born.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a species. All the video games that you've played where there's these wandering Minotaurs, D&D, all that other stuff where you could be a Minotaur. Yeah, it's a lie.
Wow.
Not a species.
That's interesting. What a sad life, though. You're never going to find a soulmate.
Well, he also was put in a labyrinth because he was a monster.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, boy. Because he was a monster. That's why we put mice in mazes, because mice are monsters.
Minotaur, I think, also technically just means the son of Minos.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or I think it was Tor because bull.
But it's like getting... Oh, that makes sense, Taurus. Yeah, so, and even getting back to him, it's like how there's conversations with Hypnos and stuff about him. The more you fight him, the more he talks to you and he's like, you're a worthy adversary, but I serve Theseus and we have to, you know, we have to do this. And
I'm wrong. Minotaur actually means bull of Minos. So, yeah, it's bull and King Minos.
Oh, okay. Cool. But yeah, like if you, like I said, you the more you fight him, the more that your story between like Zagreus and Asterius unfolds. And if you fight him with a specific weapon, there's like 6 different weapons to choose from with different aspects, which, so it's like really there's, I'm getting ahead of myself here too, or off topic, but there's like 6 weapons that you could choose and each one of them can be changed to focus on a different ability. So there's really like 18 to like, well, there's tons of different builds that you could do in this game with the different weapons. But if you fight Asterius with a specific weapon, he notices it and he tells you a story of someone who fought a great beast barehanded, because the weapons that you're using are basically like gauntlets. And he'll tell you a phrase to later on go and say to that weapon, and it unlocks a new ability. So it's like just fighting over and over and talking to these people unlocks more stuff in the story. It's so crazy. I know I've said this a lot, but like the game is so layered in its dialogue and what its dialogue unlocks. It's so cool. But yeah. So that's Elysium. The first area we got, comparing to talking about bosses, you know, Elysium is later on in the game. The first area, you actually fight one of 3 Fury sisters, which is Megara, Alecto, or Tisiphone. And they, so like, Zagreus has a relationship with Megara, and you could actually talk to her back in the house, and there's a complicated past. And
she looks like a dominatrix.
Kind of, I don't know. They definitely used to be whipping pals. Something, I don't know. She is a romance option. Oh yeah, I'm sorry guys. On top of everything else in this game, it's also a dating simulator. You could give people nectar and ambrosia. And
isn't that like an aphrodisiac?
I have no idea. It's like a drink in the game.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But you could give specific people in the game these gifts and their heart meter fills up and they might give you a little keepsake or like an unlocked ability or something, you know. On top of everything else, you could date people. but yeah, you never talk to Alecto or Tisiphone back in the house because they're not allowed there because they're too unhinged. But it's kind of random who you'll get. But each of them, too, just like Asterius and Theseus, the more you fight them, the more their story unravels. Like, Tisiphone, I don't know anything about her, But in the game, she could only say murderer. And she's like so chaotic. Like she just looks at Zagreus and she's like, murderer, murderer, murderer. I'm going to kill you. And after fighting her 70 times, she starts like, Zagreus is like, I'm not a murderer. My name is Zagreus. You don't have to do this. And she's like, murder, Zag. And he's like, holy crap. So each time you go into the boss fight and it's Tisephone, from that point on, Zagreus is like, hey, Tisephone, like, let's work on your speaking. Could you say Zagreus again? And she like tries to say it more, but then she still ends up fighting you and stuff. So I'm really curious to see what happens with that, because that was a new discovery for me recently. After you get through that in the second area, Asphodel, the boss of that is the Bone Hydra. But for the first 50 runs, you're just like, okay, let's do this, Bone Hydra. But eventually Zagreus gets bored and he's like, you know, I'm going to give you a name. Like, I'm just going to call you Lernie, L-E-R-N-I-E, which is a weird name. But so every run after that, he's like, how you doing, Lernie? Ready to do this? And it's just like this crazy Bone Hydra fighting you. Yeah, and then Elysium, we talked about the boss of that. And then there was this moment, you remember, because I was playing it and I was like, no. When you get outside of Elysium, you're in Styx. You're in the Temple of Styx, and you go to this bridge and Cerberus is standing there. He's standing guard. And even Zagreus is like, no. And I was like, no, they're not going to make me kill my dog. Because in the game, Cerberus is like this three-headed, you know, vicious-looking monster. But you go up to him, you could pet him, and he's all happy, and his tongue is sticking out and stuff. His tongues are sticking out.
He's a good boy.
He's like, everyone in the game is like, hey, Cerberus, you're such a good boy, and all this stuff. But he really just like looks like a happy puppy at sometimes. But he has a job and he's standing guard. So I was really worried. But the point of Styx is you have to go through rooms and find a snack for him. And you don't end up fighting him. You just give him a snack and he leaves you alone. He lets you pass. So I thought that was such a good. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So those are the bosses. God, it's just. I am just overwhelmed with how much stuff is in this game. Yeah. I mean, God, we didn't even talk about like characters that you could meet along your runs. Obviously you run into enemies a lot, but then sometimes you'll run into a shop, which is ran by Charon, who is the boatman of the River Styx, but he just turns out to be also like a salesman who he doesn't speak, and he's kind of like really like ghoulish, like a skeleton, but he'll sell you power-ups for coins that you get from killing people and finding in rooms.
I think what Hades did very well is, unlike a lot of roguelikes, Hades created a story and characters that give you a reason to want to continue to do runs.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to be able to meet these characters again, so that you can speak to them and see what new things they have to say. And I think that's something that a lot of the roguelikes that I've played, for example, like Risk of Rain 2, Binding of Isaac, like they don't really have a story. It's kind of just like, all right, play the game. Now, granted, Binding of Isaac did have a story, but it wasn't one that was like fun.
It wasn't very in-depth at all. I can't even remember if there was multiple endings or anything like that, but like, I'm sure there were. But yeah, it's not nearly as in-depth as this.
Like, you play it because it's a challenge and because, you know, you like roguelikes. For Hades, you can play it because you like roguelikes, or you could play it because you like story. Because I think absolutely. It does have... Yeah, it has a very good story, and it gives you a reason to want to play. And even when you fail a run, you can still speak to everybody, and they'll still have something to say, usually.
That's, like, what's so cool about the game is because when you die, you're not upset because you get to go back. You get to spend your your currency that you made to get upgrades, and you get to, like, if you collect nectar on your run, you get to go back and give it to people to improve your relationships. And yeah, and there's specific characters that you can meet along your runs in each one of the levels of the underworld who have ties back to people in the house. So you meet these people, and then you go back and you start telling people about them, and the story unfolds from that point on. Like, in the first area, you meet Sisyphus, who was a king, and in mythology, he was sentenced to push a boulder up a hill just to have it roll back down. And that was what he did.
Got to get them gains.
Yeah. So, like, and he's this gigantic man. And I even, you know, heard more about it in, like, outside of the game. Like, Sisyphus was a horrible king. He was very, very mean. But in the underworld, during his punishment, he found solace in pushing the boulder up the hill. He felt like it was good penance for what he did. And he actually became a really good guy. And when you meet him, he's just like a genuinely such a nice guy. And he's like always so happy to talk to you. And he's like watched over by the Fury Sisters, like not really watched over, like they kind of oversee his punishment. And sometimes you'll walk into his room and Meg is talking to him and she's like, that boulder better be up this hill when I get back. And he's like, don't you worry. Don't
yes,
worry.
Miss. Mama.
Yeah. He's like, yes, ma'am. He's like, it's going to be up there. But yeah, you talk to him and you find out he's such a nice guy. And then you could go back and talk to Nyx and be like, God, does he really need to push that boulder? And Nyx is like, well, you could, you know, you're the son of Hades. You could find his contract and ease him up a little bit. And, you know, there's a woman in Asphodel who you talk to named Eurydice, or I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like
Como say what?
I say Eurydice, but it's like Eurydice or something. And she's always cooking stuff. And when you talk to her, she gives you a power up. So does Sisyphus. He either gives you like darkness, health, or
hello, coin, darkness, coins. My old friend.
Yeah.
Gotta get through Hades again.
And again and again and again.
And again.
But you find out that Eurydice, I'm just going to call her Eurydice, was either the wife or the partner of the house musician who is Orpheus. And she was his muse. So he doesn't want to sing because he lost his muse. And it's like a side quest to get them reunited. And, you know, in Elysium, there's another person like that. His name is Patroclus. I don't know, a lot of people call him Patty. It's just a lot easier. Yeah. You find out that he was Achilles' friend in battle, and he died leading a war that Achilles didn't want to fight. So when he died, Achilles got into this rage and he basically ended the war, but he also died. And they were separated. So basically Achilles took he wanted to swap places with Patty. He gave Patty his spot in Elysium in like so he could be happy and have a good afterlife, and he serves under Hades in the house.
Wow, so what a moron.
Yeah. they were like best friends, and there's like hints that they were more than friends. Like when
I mean,
they both,
it's Greek mythology. Yeah, it's heavily implied all of these people are just like, hey, you cute.
Yeah. When Achilles and Patty both died, they had their ashes combined. So they were like one thing. And yeah, and it's a quest to get them like reunited. I haven't finished that one yet. But it's like working towards like getting them to find each other. Yeah. So there's side quests in the game. You know, it's a game about doing the same thing over and over again, but there's tons of stuff that you can do on the side. Yeah. Yeah. God, we didn't even talk about like the stuff you upgrade. There's so much in this game. Basically, when I say upgrade, another currency that you get on your runs is gems, and you could use, and diamonds, but diamonds are very rare. You use those to upgrade things in the house, and it might be like something simple like tables or chairs. And you could also upgrade things in your room. Like you could get a better bed, like a hammock or something.
You can get a nudie of Aphrodite.
Yeah, which is a little weird. I was like, I have a poster of Aphrodite in my room.
Get Magara in your room. Be like, yo, Meg, I got some new stuff in my bedroom. If you want to check it out.
That happens. That happens.
We'll see how you compare. Yeah.
It's a little weird, too, because Aphrodite is your cousin. And I think when you get the poster, there's like a narrator in the game, and he's like, it could provide some solace to Zagreus after his failed runs. I'm like, that's your cousin, dude.
Like, wow. That's pretty dang yuck.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just so many things. Like you could get a bat cage. That's just as
you could get. I thought about to say you can get a bat cave. All of a sudden, Zagreus is Batman.
Well, that's kind of like what his room is. But
I'm going to see my mother.
You could just get a cage that has bats in it, and you're like, okay, that's a cool decoration. But if you go up to it, he's like, be free, bats, and like the bats fly out, and you could like the screen zooms out so you could see the entire house and see everything that you've unlocked. You know me, and you know that, like, I love games that have progression and, like, things you could build upon. Like, one of my favorite things in a game was in Assassin's Creed, I think it was Brotherhood, where you could basically buy the entire city and have people working for you to make money. It's not...
Oh, yeah, I love having slave labor and people... It's like, I like it's, reminding people that I am the rich...
My God, it's like buying I can't even think of like what kind.
My favorite thing is playing Eivor and knowing that I am the sugar mama of the village. What's that? Like, you need a house?
Yeah. Yeah, and like in Valhalla, like you upgrade a house and you get a feast buff or something like that. Like I love stuff like that. It's not quite to the level of like that in Hades. Some things definitely help out. Like things in your room are like cool, like you could unlock the mirror, which gives you abilities. You unlock the Book of Prophecies, which are basically challenges you could do.
Now you can preen and challenge yourself.
Yeah. It's just, but then there's a lot of cosmetic things in the house, but I love doing runs just to get gems now, just so I could fill up the house with cool decorations. Like just seeing the progress that you've made.
Hades ain't doing it.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. He has Hades is always behind his desk, and he's always, there's always like a line of ghosts. They're called shades. There's like a line of them coming up from the pool of Styx. And if you just sit there and watch, like each one of them will walk up to him and he'll be like, denied. And then they'll walk away, or he'll say, like, what did you do? And, like, why did you die? And all this other stuff. It's really, really cool.
So wait.
The house? Huh.
Wait. So basically what you're telling me is Hades is a pencil pusher.
Oh, he does paperwork all day long. Yeah.
Wow. No wonder he's absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
I know the feeling, fam. My condolences.
Cerberus is always sitting right next to Hades, but you could even
he's an upgrade. Office pet.
Yeah, and you could even upgrade things. Like I got him a nice little bed and a little stuffed toy next to him. Aww. Like a little stuffed bear. It's the house has like it really turns into like having a life of its own. It's so cool.
And it only took 20 plus years.
I don't know. I really don't know what else I could say right now. I'm happy that I made it to probably a little under 50 minutes just talking about how much I love Hades Supergiant. You guys are awesome. I was so happy when we went to PAX and we saw Supergiant's booth and just how much they grew and seeing. I think they were demoing Pyre when we went there, but it was a long time ago. This year.
Well, we should go this year if it's going to be a thing and we get our vaccines.
Yeah, yeah. Everything that they do is just so great. There's so much detail in this game. Man, like I said, I'm over 50 hours into it, and like I'm gonna before I lay down to go to sleep tonight, I'm gonna do a run, you know. I do want to give a shout out to Halion. He's a Twitch streamer and he's a speedrunner of Hades. He has an awesome YouTube channel, and it's Halion. He has tons of content on Hades speedruns. He has some world records. He does crazy runs where he tries to get a boon leveled up as much as he could. I think he got a dash boon, which is basically like you could dash in the game, but there's boons that make your dash deflect or cause damage. If Poseidon gives you a dash boon, water will come out and you'll damage your foes. He got up to like level 38, which is an insane number for boons. Usually during my runs, I might get a boon to 9 or 10. So it was like the stuff he does is pretty crazy. I've learned a lot of strategies to him. I was talking to you and I was like, I think I want to speed run this game. Like I've never wanted to speed run a game before, but like there's just such a rewarding feeling getting done with a room in seconds, you know, and there's even like a timer built into the game where you could see how long it's taking you. There's challenges where you have to get through an underworld in 9, 7, 5 minutes. I'm down to 3 minutes on Tartarus, which is the first area, which I'm very, very happy about. But I see speedrunners getting it finished in like a minute, so just crazy. Yeah, I can't say enough things about this game. I can't believe I slept on it this long. It's, even though it's 2021, this game was released in 2020, it's one of the best games that came out last year, hands down. Yeah,
that's some high praise.
Absolutely. I'm gonna be playing this game for a long time.
And that is why Hades is our game of the month for January. Yay!
Just in time for January to be over.
Yay!
Well, you know what? This is coming out. This is going to be released on February 1st. So why don't we make it February's game of the month?
No.
What the heck? What is going to be?
That's not how this works. Now you have to find a game that you play in February that deserves it. Hades took January. Now you need to find a new one for February.
I just sucked Hades' butt for an hour, and it's only going to get a day of being game of the month?
Yeah. It's a hindsight type thing.
It's okay.
I mean, you're, it's right, kind of just like employee of the month. You can't be employee of the month if the month just starts, because then what if you do something super bad, like, I don't know, set a fire in the production line?
If anyone by the off chance, anyone from Supergiant is listening to this, they stumbled upon a Hades podcast or something, just know that you're much more than game of the day for me. You're game of February for me.
No, they're a game of January.
Okay, all right. Well, let's go into what else we've been playing. And you're going first because I've been talking so much. I did a bunch of sanding in your office, so my throat is like dry.
Don't you blame me because you want to use your voice.
We should give an update on that too afterwards, though. What are you in playing?
So for January, I have gotten to pretty much 16,000 gamer points, gamer score, added on. Yeah, I got 16,000 for the month of January, and of those games, I have played Donut County, which was cute, played The Little Acre, which was okay, The Gardens Between, Carrion, The Walking Dead Season 1. I absolutely hate the Walking Dead video games. I've come to the conclusion that I absolutely despise most Telltale games.
Yeah. Actually, just to jump in there for a second, there was, I don't think it was season one, but there was a part in the game where a dog was bitten or something like that. And your option. Yeah. And I noticed it because our dog, Luca, flips out whenever she sees dogs, any kind of dog. And I was like, what's Luca barking at? And you were like, there's this dog. And your option was to either slit its throat or abandon it.
Abandon it while it is impaled on tent, the pieces of tent that make it keep its shape. It's not named the base. So, what is it called? Wiring? I don't know. Either way, it was crap.
Basically, all I have to say for that is Telltale deserve to go under if they're going to make a decision like that.
Oh, yeah. I get very, very angry when dogs are just killed for an emotional reaction, because the emotional reaction that I always go to is an immediate hate for the developers.
Yeah. Don't kill dogs. They don't deserve it. Not even virtual dogs.
Looking at you, Naughty Dog.
No. Look at Hades. They went out of their way to make you not have to fight Cerberus. You just get him a snack and he loves you.
Like I said, if you make me have to kill a dog, I hate your I hate you as a person. Yeah. That's really what it is. I hate you as a person. Yeah. But, the entire time that I was playing The Walking Dead, I think you can attest to this, Andy. I just kept on saying, I absolutely hate this game.
Yeah. But you're on a mission.
I was on a mission for that 1,000. Other ones that I completed was Firewatch, which was fun. Another World is incredibly hard. I actually needed a guide to pretty much hold my hand the entire time.
That's an old, old game. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not good at the really old games. There's Ben-Hur, which I've discovered is indeed absolute trash.
Did you complete that game?
I 100%ed Ben-Hur. I believe it was so bad it was removed from being viable.
Oh, I don't know how you did. Yeah, I got it. It was free. I got it a couple years ago, and I played it. I don't think I finished it. Yeah, it was. Yep. Holy crap.
It is so bad, but I did it. let's see. Then there was Subnautica, Surviving Mars, Endless Legend, Autumn's Journey, which is super easy because it's basically just a graphic novel, and my latest one for today, which was the Full Throttle Remaster or Reboot, one of those two. It was another old game. That one, that one wasn't bad. It's just the one thing that I noticed a lot of old games have is they require you to really like hyper focus and remember like the tiniest details, and that can get like kind of annoying for me. But I did it.
I'm very proud of you.
Yay!
I should say, you always say like, I'm going to get so many achievements. You're going to be proud of me. I'm like, you're my wife. Like I'm proud of you already.
Don't
like,
you give me pity praise.
I should say something really cool that kind of spurred this was, Microsoft Rewards. So they had a thing going on in January where they would match your achievement score to your reward points up to 10,000. So if you got 10,000 achievement points, you got 10,000 reward points. Allie crushed it. I only got 6,000 in January. But last night I ordered new speakers on Amazon and I redeemed $10 from Microsoft Rewards. So I literally made money playing video games this month. So that was really cool.
The best part about that is outside of, like, from all the games that I had just mentioned, Autumn's Journey and Ben-Hur, I think, are the only ones that I either spent money on or people could no longer get. Every single other game that I mentioned is free on Game Pass Ultimate. So, I mean, hey, free achievements.
Yeah. Best deal in gaming. Game Pass.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. We're not sponsored by Xbox, but we would love to be.
But if you are offering.
We're basically a Game Pass podcast. We talk about Game Pass so much.
Well, I think the reason for why is because there are just a lot of games that are offered.
I do want to say, I didn't say this in our last episode about CD Projekt Red, but I have a prediction that things are going so bad for them right now. Like, and I think that they burned their bridge with Sony with the whole refund thing. I think Microsoft is going to scoop in and buy them. And
I hope think, they don't.
Yeah, it's there. Some of the stuff they're doing is messed up, but I mean, I could definitely see Cyberpunk being on Game Pass in the next year.
You know, actually, I can see Cyberpunk being on Game Pass because The Witcher 3 is on Game Pass, but I don't see Microsoft purchasing them because of GOG. Because then it's like, oh, we own, well, now you have to release your games on Microsoft, but you also have your own Steam equivalent, but we also have the Ultimate Pass, so.
Yeah, it gets a little muddy. Yeah, so what else? I mean, I've been playing Hades, I finished up Valhalla, I just started Immortals, I'm like 20 minutes into Immortals. I figured while I'm on this Greek mythology high, I'll get into it. And I also started Cyber Shadow, which is the new game from Yacht Club Games, the developers of Shovel Knight, which I absolutely love Shovel Knight. It's probably one of the games that I bought on the most systems. I think I own Shovel Knight on Xbox, Wii U, 3DS, which is the first way I bought it, and I think I have it on Steam. But Cyber Shadow is super hard. It's an unforgiving game right from the gate. I'm definitely gonna keep going. Oh, and the achievements, every achievement is like either worth 16 points or like 31 points.
So I don't like those.
If you play the game and you don't complete it, there's a good chance you're gonna have a messed up achievement score. But my achievement score, and by that I mean not ending in a 5 or a 0, which is a huge thing for a lot of people.
Me.
Mayan hasn't ended in a 5 or a 0 since Guitar Hero Live in like 2017. But so I don't know. Maybe I'll play it and maybe I won't complete it just so I could fix my gamer score. I don't know.
I absolutely despise No Man's Sky because it made my gamer score uneven. And I'm just like,
Carry On almost did that because I think there's an achievement for decapitating someone and it pops up and it's like, yeah, it's 2 points. And then if you eat their head, you get the other 8, you know?
I think you have to like rip off the head.
Something like that. Yeah. It's like, it could very easily be done one right after the other.
It also has an achievement that has 0 points.
Really? Which one? I remember it, but I can't remember what the achievement was.
It's when you're a human. You're playing as a human, it's just like, oh, flashback time, 0 points.
Oh, yeah.
But then they have get all the jars and it's 200.
Yeah. That was a fun game. Also on Game Pass.
Both, actually. You can get 2,000 from Carry On if you
use PC. Yeah, it's on and PC Xbox. And yeah. Before we wrap up, we were talking about the Office update. Yeah, so I've been working like crazy in our spare room, turning it into Allie's office. Hopefully in the future, our goal is to get like a video portion of the podcast, like a video version, and actually have that be on YouTube in place of just our logo and our audio. We're hoping to do some cool stuff with that. That should be done in the next couple days.
Yeah.
So we have that. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Check us out on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I've been slacking a little bit on TikTok, but we're YouTube. YouTube is a big one. We've had a little resurgence in our YouTube channel since my Animal Crossing video. It's pretty cool. It's getting me inspired to make more stuff for that.
Woohoo.
And you know where you could listen to us. I mean, you're already listening to us, right?
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public.
You,
oh my God, you got so many options. You just pick one.
You had that open.
I did.
You were waiting for that.
I did.
And I just want to say we talked so much about Hades and so much story-related stuff to Hades. I just want to emphasize that there's still so much in the game that I haven't experienced. And so much that we just didn't cover in what we talked about in this episode, like from the beginning of the game to where I am now, there's so much stuff in between. We didn't even talk about like Dusa or any other characters in the game. There's so much for you guys to see in this game. So do not for a second feel like you've had the entire experience. You know, you know what to expect. The game is fantastic. Please go check it out if you haven't played it.
You now know Andy's current favorite game. What's your favorite game? Let us know at the social media platforms that Andy has mentioned previously.
Yeah, just go to Google. We also have a website. Man, we got to update that website. Yeah. It's hard doing all this stuff and having full-time jobs. So just tell a friend about us so we could kind of move away from that stuff.
No pressure.
Tell a friend. Allie, give us those parting words.
Oh, God, I don't really have anything right now. Oh, I feel pressured.
Okay.
Hashtag Hades did nothing wrong.
The game or Hades himself?
Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye-bye.